Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 57, Trouble in Wacky Land. I'm your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Hotshot Scott Michella.
Thanks, Chris. Back from San Diego Comic-Con. It's super hot there, and yeah, it's cold here, San Francisco.
Yeah, that's right. We were off last week. You were down at San Diego Comic-Con. I was off being launched through space. Mm-hmm. But now we are back to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo.
Yeah, a lot happened.
Yeah. Last week, it seemed like things were really quiet early on. And then, since then, in that past week, just a ton of stuff has happened. Starting off with some interesting new reports on the upcoming NX system. And that's going to be our big topic later on. Oh. We're going to get into what our top three picks would be for what we'd like to see out of the system. But before we do that, we're going to get into a bunch of news. We're going to get into some game impressions, and we're going to get into these rumors about what's supposed to be on Nintendo's next hardware. So have you been following these latest rumors about the NX?
Yes, taking them all in with a bit of grain of salt.
Yeah, it's just rumors. Nothing is officially confirmed.
I don't think this is terribly surprising to either of us, this news. But yeah, I've been following it. I think a lot of it feels very like, oh, kind of, yeah, that's obvious. But wasn't quite sure how the controls are going to work. So let's dive into it. What is the news?
According to this rumor, people are saying that the NX is basically going to be a single screen portable device with detachable, configurable controllers on the side. And of course, this thing will be able to plug into the TV. So it'll be a hybrid mobile device and console. Mm-hmm. They're also saying it's going to be cartridge based. And they're saying that it's going to be powered by NVIDIA Tegra technology, which is not really all that powerful.
Yeah, it runs the NVIDIA Shield, right? Is that what's inside the Shield?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. I think it would be probably the exact same thing. But there is some version of the Tegra that I think powers that device.
Mm-hmm. Not a slouch by any means, that processor, but it's a mobile processor. It's built to run cool, and it's built, you know, it's not blazing fast.
Yeah, it does seem like, first and foremost, this is sort of supposed to be a portable device. And when you compare it to other portable devices, it's going to be pretty powerful. But when you compare it to other consoles, like the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, not so much. It's going to be kind of on the weak side.
And that's interesting, because it felt like out of the gate, Nintendo was saying, you know, oh, our next console is going to be more powerful than the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. Now,
I don't think they ever promised that, but you know, it certainly would have been nice.
I thought for sure we were expecting it. Come on, it's been 2 years since those consoles launched.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since those came out, and Nintendo is, you know, diving in mid-generation. It really seems like they should have something that's more powerful than stuff that's been out there for a couple of years, especially when Xbox is coming in with a new revision that's even more powerful, and rumor has it the PlayStation is as well. So if this is true, and it really is underpowered like that, that's fairly unfortunate, I would say.
Yeah, I think ideally the console, the NX, should be easy to program for. It should be a super simple platform to code for. Now, if it's an Android-based NVIDIA Tegra platform, maybe. But I don't want to spill this whole a bunch of crap mobile games. I don't want Clash of Clans.
Yeah, we want to be able to port stuff over from Xbox and PlayStation, not over from Android. That would just give us a slew of garbage. That would be horrifying.
So I'm concerned. This mobile processor, and I don't think you're gonna have a one-to-one port situation with a PS4 game or an Xbox One game.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem possible if that's the case. Now, it's possible this is going to be some sort of next-generation Tegra processor, so maybe it'll be far more powerful than what we're expecting. But again, when you think about, you know, what this device is going to do, it doesn't seem that likely.
I want it to be more powerful than an iPad. I mean, I understand the thing being portable. It can't be that, you know, it just can't be a powerhouse, can't be a desktop machine. Now, if you released the 3DS today, I think we'd all have a big old laugh about, you know, however many pixels of resolution that thing is. I mean, come on, it's laughable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In 2016. It doesn't even stack
up to the Vita, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so, if we're dealing with a situation where this is old technology, I think there's going to be a lot of clicking of tongues. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I know Nintendo, their whole deal is we're going to use old technology and it's going to save us a bunch of money and we'll sell these things like for a lot of money and we'll make a ton of money because the stuff that's inside it is super cheap. But man, you know, if we get another Wii U gamepad, the Wii U gamepad screen is good, but holy cow, mm-hmm. I'm not like, oh man, it'd be awesome if it was like a Wii U gamepad. Nobody's saying that. So gosh, don't just give me a Wii U gamepad I can walk out of the house with. Holy,
that's kind
geez.
Of funny because that's
is that
that's
what
kind
we're
of
looking
what I'm
at?
Of this thing as
my gosh, I mean,
when
if
I hear
that's,
about this thing, that's sort of my first thought.
Well, that's garbage. I don't want that. I don't want that. But I don't know.
No, it's not really what I want either. But there certainly are some parallels because the way that the Wii U works is it's a home console and you can sort of take this controller with a screen on it and it's sort of portable. You can take it a few rooms down anyway and that's how you do your portability. Whereas this is sort of the same thing but, you know, twisted on its side. It's primarily a handheld console with a screen on it, but you can apparently take off the controllers and detach them and use them like regular controllers, and then you can just take the entire system and go out and about with it. So you'll have the exact same games that you play on the go as you have the plug into the TV. And that aspect does kind of sound appealing, but not at the expense of having, you know, crappy technology. Yeah.
You know what it would have been a home run for me, and this is, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but if the Wii U gamepad could be, you know, if it had Wi-Fi range and not Bluetooth range, holy crap, how much more useful would the Wii U gamepad be? I wish the gamepad was something I could play all over the house, and it's so not that. Now, the true. Fact that this thing is portable...
I would say fact. We don't know if this is a fact yet. This is still just a rumor.
Well, I think in all our guts, we know that Nintendo's most successful platforms are the portable platforms. So it makes sense that if this thing... It just feels like that's where they're going with this. But if it's not, I'll be shocked.
So you think this is all true then, huh?
I think... I don't necessarily know about the drawing with the detachable controller, but it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But
I actually think the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It actually lines up pretty well with what we know about it. We speculated for a long time that it was going to be a console and handheld hybrid. It fits in with the comments that Nintendo has made about the gimmick being obvious from a visual standpoint. And it fits in well with the reports that this was going to be very kid-friendly and aimed at kids.
Yeah.
The thing is, when I hear about this gimmick, it just feels like a toy. Like, oh, I'm going to detach the pieces and put them back together,
but
like it's some sort of Lego device.
Yeah,
or
but
something
is it a
like
gimmick
that.
At all? It's not really a gimmick at all. I mean, I would call motion controls a gimmick. I would call the Virtual Boy a gimmick. I would even call the 3DS a gimmick. I don't think anything on the face of this is going to scream like, it's a Vita with detachable controller, right? With a bigger screen.
Well, supposedly it's going to have some sort of, you know, configurable controller element. And so I don't know how that's going to result in being able to, you know, change around the controller to come up with new ways to play games.
Yeah.
But
where
I guess that's part of the idea behind
makes
it.
Sense.
I guess we'll have to see.
Like if there's a fishing game, like maybe the one side of it's a reel. And I don't know. That makes sense. Like a game would come with a specialized controller. Or maybe it's got modules. It just doesn't feel like what I would call a Nintendo-style gimmick.
Yeah, on the face of it, it sounds like a fairly weak gimmick, so I guess we'll really have to see it in action. But again, apparently it's going to be aimed at kids mainly, which would be very troublesome. They're aiming at kids, they're making it cheap, they're making it affordable by using old technology. It just doesn't sound like anything that screams home run to me, if this is true.
Yeah. I do believe that targeting this thing at kids in this day and age is a huge problem. I would say the majority of 3DS owners are, you know, in their high school aged and older, because they're the ones that are, you know, getting out, going around, doing things with their friends, getting street passes. Well, they're the ones who want to actually
play a video game system and not just be content with playing a hand-me-down mobile phone,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. And little kids, all they want is an iPhone or an iPad. So
I mean, they can't go out and buy the system themselves. And, you know, mom and dad, it's either like, well, I'm going to buy you a new system or I'm going to give you a phone that has tons of free games on it. So,
yeah.
You know, that's sort of what Nintendo has been dealing with mm-hmm. for the past several years. And I guess that's why they're trying to do something about it. But, you know, it's a tough problem.
Yeah. And when I say little kid, I would say 11 years and younger. I think any kid that's 11 years and older is more the audience I think they should be aiming this thing at. But if you're looking at a 7 and 8 year old thinking, oh, yeah, the kids are going to love this, like, oh, gosh.
I feel like they shouldn't be worrying about making it appeal to kids and making it cheap so much as they should worry about making it be something that's really cool and really desirable. If you do that, then the kids will come to it, and eventually, you know, they'll either want to, you know, earn the pocket money to be able to afford this thing, or eventually, you know, the price will drop and people will be able to afford it a little bit better. But making it desirable has got to come ahead of the other things, and I'm a little worried that that's not what they're doing in this case.
Yeah. I think for parents, the value proposition for something like this is compared to like an iPhone or an iPod Touch or whatever. I think parents are thinking like, oh, I'll get the kid a cheap used iPhone and, you know, who needs another video game system? All the games are the same. And that's worrisome. We'll see.
What do you think about the rumor that's cartridge-based?
I still think that's bananas, but, you know...
Really? Because for years, I've been thinking, this is the way technology is going.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the first time that I held an SD card in my hand, I'm like, oh, wow. You know, one of these days, this technology is going to be super affordable, and we're going to go away from CDs and go back to cartridges, mm-hmm. or they're going to be these little, tiny, minuscule things.
Yeah.
I kind of like that, and I think it makes sense.
I love it. I think it's great not having to install a game on the system, not having to carry around an awkward, cumbersome disc. The UMD format, my gosh, what a disaster. Mm-hmm.
yeah, that was the worst.
And then with the PS Vita, they had those tiny little micro SD cards. How many of those have got lost to the ages? Mm-hmm.
I imagine this is going to be kind of the same thing,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, but I would hope it would be substantial enough that, and I think if it's made for kids, hopefully, yeah, we're mm-hmm. not dealing with a micro-sized cartridge, quote-unquote cartridge, that's basically a micro SD card. I'd love it to be about the size of a 3DS cartridge. That feels about right. You're going to have this fast access time, no load time, and it, you know, it makes sense. But looking at a tablet computer and then sticking a cartridge in it just feels kind of bananas in this mm-hmm. day and age, but it does make sense. I love physical media, so I'm in, but it would make more sense to me that Nintendo would say this is an online only platform, no media whatsoever, no, but then you have to deal with storage space and downloading a 4 gigabyte game.
With the storage,
yeah,
space.
Exactly. So this thing would have to have like 500 gigs of storage, and at that point, it's not worth it. I think they're better off making some sort of SD-based card that, you know, kids can plug into the system. And I'm happy that it'll be cartridge-based if that's true. It makes sense, but it's going to mm-hmm. be I think a lot of people are going to be like, are you serious? They're still using cartridges? But yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot about this rumor that worries me, but the cartridge thing is definitely not one of them. It'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds and how much of this is real in the coming weeks and months ahead. So moving on to our next topic, I'd like to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, Scott, you were down there at Comic-Con, and you were there for the Sonic Party. Tell me how it went down.
The Sonic Party was pretty cool, actually. Brought to you by Sega and Totino's Pizza Rolls.
Hedgehogs gone wild.
Hedgehogs. And there were chili dogs. There were chili dogs, everyone.
Oh, man, did you bring me one?
No, that would have been disgusting. but they were good chili dogs. And they also had onion rings. Get, you know, you get it. Onion rings, chili dogs. Yep, yep. Sonic was there. He was dancing-ish. Well, if you call that dancing, he was on stage. There was a...
Yes, I heard about this.
The crowd was rabid for Sonic. I mean, this was... I don't know how they found these perfect, this perfect crowd, but these people were just the Sonic faithful. These people they invited were so... Like, they were cosplaying as Sonic, everybody dressed in blue. Just really fun. Sonic fans are good fans. So they packed the house at the House of Blues down in San Diego. The Sonic Mania announcement, when it did go off finally after so many technical glitches, if you watched online, I'm sorry. It wasn't as awkward in the being in the room where they were announcing it, but apparently at home it was kind of awkward because the feed kept cutting out and the audio kept cutting out. Anyway. Live there, it wasn't as awkward, but when they announced Sonic Mania...
Sonic Mania being the new classic style 2D Sonic game.
That's right.
Yes.
When they announced Sonic Mania, people lost their minds. There was like... The house shook. The whole place just shook. People were just... Their minds melted. I was really excited, and everybody's like, wow, it really just looks like, you know, Sega Genesis Sonic, but or Mega Drive Sonic.
No, it looks like, you know, Sega Saturn Sonic.
Yeah, it looks really good, of course. Yes, it looks really good, but like mechanically, it just stylistically, it just fits the...
Yeah.
It just looks the part.
I'm really excited for this game.
So we all got swag bags, and that was exciting too. But I gave mine away to one of the guys that I work with, and... Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then there was another announcement. You told me that one, Chris, because I left the party. Oh, yeah. I left the party before that second announcement.
Yeah, so first there's Sonic Mania, which is this really cool-looking, you know, 2D Sonic game. What if Sonic had continued, like, on the Saturn or PlayStation or something? It looks fabulous. And apparently it's not coming out on Nintendo system.
That's right. What a downer. What a downer. I was so bummed. When I looked at the bottom, the little banner at the bottom that shows all the platforms it's coming to.
Yeah, Xbox, PlayStation, PC, but not Nintendo.
Not Nintendo.
No NX, no Wii U.
Nope.
So, which is 3DS.
Super unfortunate. I have those other systems, but I really do want to play it on a Nintendo system. So that's
Sonic's new home.
I know. It's kind of sad.
On the other hand, like you were saying, there was this other announcement to close off the event, and that is what they're calling the Sonic 2017 project. It is a new 3D Sonic game from Sonic Team itself.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be coming out next year, and it will be on NX.
Yeah.
We don't really know a whole lot about it. They showed a trailer, but there really wasn't any gameplay shown. Just a cinematic scene of Sonic in this dark, foreboding, you know, sort of apocalyptic type environment with some giant bad guys roaming around. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go fight these guys. And who shows up but classic Sonic. So modern Sonic and classic Sonic teaming up again to do who knows what, because they haven't really said anything else about the game.
Yeah.
They don't even have a title for it. They do have a tagline, though, that says, join the resistance. So I would kind of like to call the game Sonic Resistance in lieu of anything else from
dark.
Here on out.
Yeah, that's
pretty dark. Well, it is
dark.
And the dark stuff seems kind of lame, to be honest.
It's like Sonic Chaos, but scarier.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what this game is. They say it's not a sequel, but I mean, it's a Sonic game, so obviously it's a sequel, but I guess they're trying to say it's not Generations 2, it's not Sonic Adventure 3, it's not Sonic Colors 2 or anything. But obviously it has classic and modern Sonic, so they are using some ideas from the past. And if it were a lot like Generations with the 3D and the 2D levels, I would absolutely love that. That would be great. I do wonder, though, if maybe classic and modern Sonic are going to be joined by Sonic Boom Sonic as well, and we'll have a trio of Sonics running around, one of them dressed like a mummy.
Yeah, those bandages, man. So this is, I don't want this 2017 Sonic game, to be honest. I want that Sonic Mania, but
well, I want them both.
I don't. I don't know.
Why do you say that?
I'm a sour old man.
Sonic Generations was really, really good,
man. I have to play Sonic Generations. Okay, I'll give you that. I have to play Sonic Generations. I'll let you know how I feel about
3D Sonic. Yeah, Sonic Colors was good, too. In fact, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the trailer, they're like, from the makers of Sonic Colors and Sonic Generations. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, they pointed out the good ones. They didn't say Sonic Lost World.
Yeah.
And the ones that haven't gone over so well. You know, it's not from the people who made Sonic Boom. But yeah, I'm looking forward to knowing more about it. I thought the trailer looked pretty cool, even if the overly dark stuff was kind of questionable. But, you know, I'll take a wait-and-see approach, and I'm feeling fairly optimistic.
All right. I'll join your optimism.
Okay, well, it is coming to NX.
I just don't want a Sonic 3D racing game again.
As I've said, Sonic is a lot more than just running forward and full speed ahead stuff. Hopefully, they will take that into account when they're developing this. So I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Okay.
But speaking of Blue Heroes, who could use a kick in the pants, there are also rumors floating around of a new Mega Man game coming out in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, where did these rumors come from? I didn't see this.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where this story originated, but I picked it up from a couple of sites online. And what this rumor says is that there is allegedly a new Mega Man game in development that's based on the upcoming cartoon with that slightly wonky off-model Mega Man.
Skinny arm, skinny leg Mega Man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And while I'm not totally thrilled about Mega Man's redesign, according to this rumor, the game will sort of play like classic Mega Man. It's going to be coming to console and handheld. So that would include Nintendo systems, probably on 3DS. And the rumor said Wii U, but maybe it would be on NX instead if this is coming out, you know, in a year from now or something. But supposedly it'll be the, you know, usual Mega Man formula of fighting various bosses in whatever order you want, acquiring their weapons, so on, so forth. The interesting part about the rumor is that the bosses are not supposed to be anything man. No Fireman or Iceman or Gutsman, but they have names like Flare Symphony and Frostbite Sonata and Saber Waltz, which, A, are kind of cool names, and B, an interesting homage to
the musical names in the game.
Yes, to you know, the history of using musical terminology in Mega Man games in the past. So, you know, I have no idea if this rumor is true, but it would make a ton of sense for them to have something ready as a multimedia package if Mega Man is coming back as a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. Could really bring new life to the property and be a real boon to Capcom, I think, if they did something like this and actually made a nice quality game.
Yeah, I would really love to see another Mega Man game. Even a bad one. But don't make a bad one, please.
No, I don't want it to be a bad one.
No, I don't want a bad one, but I would even play a bad one. I would even buy a bad one just so that you would make a good one after the bad one.
Yeah, I hope it's true, and I would love to get my hands on you, Mega Man. So, yep, I'll cross my fingers for this one as well. Moving on to some other possibly big games from one of my favorite Japanese publishers. There was an event in Japan very recently from the folks at Level 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about a whole bunch of products there. They were talking about this giant robot sci-fi game called Megaton Musashi for 3DS. There's a fantasy RPG called The Snack World, also for 3DS. And there was a new Inazuma 11 game that's coming out on undisclosed platforms, possibly for NX.
That's the soccer role-playing game?
Yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. Which really critics loved.
That too much, but
I didn't play it, but critics loved it. Did you play that?
No. One that was released here as digital only.
I've heard such good things about it. I should probably pick that up.
But anyway, the real big news out of this event is that there is a new Layton game coming.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Totally, totally excited. Even as wacky as the thing looks.
Only it's not Professor Layton, is it?
No, it's Lady Layton.
Yep, it's his daughter.
I think that's a really exciting and a cool idea. I'm super happy that there's a female protagonist in this. And they didn't, you know, and they made her out to be as maybe even cooler than Layton, not such a stick in the mud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there have been some really strong female characters in the Layton series, but this is the first time that there's been one who is the true protagonist. This game is called Lady Layton, The Conspiracy of King Millionaire Ariadne. And this is going to be coming out on mobile devices as well as Nintendo 3DS sometime in 2017.
That's super exciting. I think that might be the last big 3DS title for me anyway, but we'll
yeah,
see.
Could be. And if it is, you know, that's going to be selling the 3DS out with a bang, because this does look really cool. The character's name is Catriel Layton, or Cat for short. And coincidentally, she has a partner who is a dog, a talking basset hound, yeah. Believe it or not.
With an unlikely
voice.
Did
you see that?
Yeah, the voice is really deep. It's pretty silly.
Yeah.
So that I guess they're thinking, we need a Luke. Who's Luke, but not as annoying? I don't know. How about a deep talking basset hound?
Sure.
I like
not?
Luke. Do you like Luke? I don't know.
I have no problem with Luke.
I think he's cute. I like Luke. He's so innocent.
I'm fine with Luke.
He's so breathless. He's out of breath all the time.
Yeah, he uses the force.
Not that Luke. Different Luke.
Yeah, my mistake.
Yeah, a talking dog. I think the series is known for some fantastical stuff, but not talking animals.
Well, Luke could talk to animals. Luke, so now we've got an animal that can talk to people.
That's
so
true.
I guess it kind of makes sense in that regard when you think about it.
Well, the puzzles look really cool in the trailer. The puzzles actually look, you know, some of them look like throwbacks, but some of them look like, you know, some stuff you haven't seen.
I didn't really pay too close attention to the puzzles,
to be
honest.
Oh, it's all about the puzzles for me, but...
I mean, I love the puzzles, but it was really only a small part of the trailer. Most of it was just, you know, video and anime footage, and it just made it look like this game has, you know, crazy off-the-chain production values. I'm like, man, I'm watching a game or I'm watching a cartoon. They did sneak some puzzle stuff in there, of course, but yeah, I was mostly just watching, you know, all the characters talking and animating and moving around.
It looks like it's set
in
London.
What kind of stuff was happening with the puzzles?
Yeah, there was like a alien UFO, like a grid thing, and then there was like a block puzzle game with some cannons.
Oh boy,
and
block puzzles.
And I guess it's mathematical, but you're shooting cannons, trying to destroy a certain amount of blocks that add up to a certain number. And then I'm getting this all from just what a brief flash of a puzzle.
Right,
and the third one that I saw was like one of those hopping games. I think if you hop over the one thing, you remove the piece, and you hop over another. It was a bunch of bunnies. I don't know. But anyway, it didn't look like the same, you know. Obviously, they're going to have the same old puzzles, the old, like, you know, move the pieces around, like the Tetris pieces to slide this into place and stuff like that. So I love the Layton series. So this, I'm super behind. I thought we weren't going to see another Layton game because they said that's the last Layton game. But, of course, the last Professor Layton game. So,
you can't keep a good Layton down.
I'm down. Lady Layton, I'm in. Sign me up.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
I don't want to wait
Pretty
for
cool.
it.
Pretty cool. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I just don't want to wait for it.
I suppose I should also mention that you know, this character, instead of being a professor, she actually runs a detective agency. So it makes a little more sense that she's going out there and solving all these mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also said this is supposed to be more comical than previous Layton games. So I guess that's kind of where the talking dog comes in and maybe fits this world a little bit more than it would have fit in the previous stuff. But anyway, I'm super excited. I cannot wait. Did you hear about the new update that's coming to Animal Crossing?
I didn't, but I'm not, of course, not following Animal Crossing updates. It's just not
well,
for me.
Well, I wasn't really either. I mean, who would think that after all these years, they would be adding new content to Animal Crossing New Leaf on the Nintendo 3DS?
Yeah, it's been 3 years or possibly 4 years.
It's been quite a while. It's been a long time.
Let me look it up. In North America, it was June of 2013. So it was summer, but it was 2013.
Yeah, so it's been more than 3 years since the game came out. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people have just put this thing away and haven't played it in ages. And I know that for me personally, I'm sure that everything in my town is dead and all the people have either moved out or passed away or something. I've been a terrible, terrible mayor. So, I'm going to fire this up because of this update. And they haven't really said everything this update does, but we know that it adds amiibo functionality to Animal Crossing.
Amiibo!
So, for an amiibo fan like me, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I think's happening. And this may be some overanalysis, but they're lowering the price on the 2DS. And when parents buy these things for their kids, they just scan the aisle, where's the game for the kids? And they're probably getting, you know, the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen game. Hopefully not. Instead, hopefully they're picking up Animal Crossing.
I don't think there is such a thing, but that's okay.
Thank goodness.
But you're thinking of the Game Boy Advance.
I mean, I'm just being silly, but yeah. But they're picking up Animal Crossing New Leaf because it's got. It looks like it's for kids, and so they get this, and then there's going to be Amiibo functionality. Now they've hooked the parent into buying Amiibos for the kids. So I really do believe the 2DS is a first video game system for a lot of kids. Parents are always going to buy the latest and greatest Nintendo platform for their kid, and they're waiting until their kid comes of age. And I think there's a lot of new 7-year-olds out there. Every year we're making more of them, and those 7-year-olds are getting a 2DS from grandpa. It's the $50, I don't know, they're getting it for $50 on Amazon somehow. There's a deal somewhere. And they're getting New Leaf, and they're getting a bunch of Amiibo, and they're selling these things like hotcakes. I guarantee it. And that's why they put the dumb Amiibo functionality in this dumb baby game.
Well, I think that the reason they're doing it is because if you go into a Toys R Us or a Target or any place that sells Amiibo, you're just going to see this crap ton of unsold Animal Crossing Amiibo.
It's a wall of Animal Crossing Amiibo. What the hell are they for? What games do they work on except for Mario Maker and Splatoon?
Well, they also work with the Animal Crossing games. You know, the main draw is that they were supposed to work with the Animal Crossing Amiibo game for Wii U.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, it's terrible.
Yeah, the board game. Yeah, boring game.
Yeah, and then there's also the Happy Home Designer that I guess it works with that I have not actually played, so I can't comment on that.
I had a free code for it, and I gave it away.
But So my theory is, they're like, oh man, how do we get rid of all these Animal Crossing Amiibo that we've stocked up? We don't want people to, you know, stop liking Amiibo. And they're like, oh, well, we'll issue an update to New Leaf and put in Amiibo functionality. And that'll not only renew interest in the game, but it'll make people go out and buy these stupid Amiibo.
Okay, I'm going to blow your mind right now. You ready for it? I know we're never going to get it. You ready?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Go for it.
Here's what I want. I want a Miyamoto Amiibo, and I want a Reggie Amiibo.
I don't really.
What? You don't? Don't you think that'd be cool? They're characters.
I take the fifth.
Oh, you would want that. Oh, you wouldn't. Oh, okay. All right. He's pleading the fifth. I think
I'd buy it.
All right. You'd buy it. You would buy it. I'd love a little cartoony, even if it's a me version of Miyamoto and Reggie. I would buy it. I would buy that.
I approve of a Miyamoto one.
And Anuma 2. I'm sorry.
Anyway, like I'm saying, we don't really know what this functionality is. We know it can be used to bring villagers into your town. We know that it'll work with the Animal Crossing Amiibo cards as well. And we know it works with other ones besides the Animal Crossing Amiibo. There was a screenshot showing a couple of characters that looked like they were dressed up as Callie and Marie from Splatoon. So presumably you scanned those Amiibo in, you got some costumes, and you get new outfits for your characters. So we're still awaiting all the details on this, but I'm just impressed that they would go and do something like this so long after the fact.
Yeah, for
presumably real. It's going to be a free update, and even if there is some sort of marketing reason behind it, I think it's pretty cool.
If you're out there and you're still playing New Leaf, I want you to hit us up on Twitter. I want to know why. I want to know how big your house is by now. Have you paid off that house? Is Tom Nook? Are you still owing Tom Nook money?
Yeah, even I've paid off Tom Nook.
I know. I haven't paid off Tom Nook yet. I still owe him.
Another game that is on the way in the not-too-distant future, next month, in fact, that is Metroid Prime Federation Force.
Mm-hmm.
And to prepare for that, they put a demo out on the eShop of Metroid Prime Blast Ball. Have you had a chance to try this out yet, Scott?
No, I just found out that this hit, so I'm interested. I'm going to download it. You played this already before the demo, right? Because you played it at E3 or at
No, I think this is actually the first time I've played it.
Oh. Well, what did you think?
Well,
Uh-oh.
It's all right.
All right.
The controls are good. I had fun in the practice modes and in the one-on-one match, but I didn't have quite so much fun as when I was doing the actual 3-on-3 blast ball competition.
Mm.
I mean, it's a first-person sport where you're shooting the ball to knock into a goal, and that's kind of a hard sell for me.
It sounds and like a mini-game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. This is just part of what's going to be included in Federation Force. The main attraction, I guess, is the adventure-y type more shootery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good way, I think, to experience how the what the gameplay is going to be like and what the controls are going to be like. And so while I, you know, kind of felt like my CPU partners weren't so good, or I was kind of maybe just sucking at this whole shooting sports ball thing, I don't know. Like I said, I did enjoy things such as the controls and the basic gameplay. And so while I didn't love playing Blast Ball, it actually gave me a lot of hope that I would enjoy the regular, you know, adventure mode in Federation Force. So I actually got a very positive vibe off the whole thing.
Oh, all right. And it's multiplayer. So you're played online with other people?
I was just playing against the computer.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it has online. It definitely has local co-op, and it definitely has local download play, or I shouldn't say co-op. It has, you know, it's 3-on-3, so it's co-op and it's versus. Yeah. But not everyone even needs to have the game, apparently. Apparently you can do it just with download play. But yeah, I actually enjoy the gameplay. So I'm much more interested in Federation Force now than I was prior to playing the demo. So,
all right.
Yeah, and that comes out next month. We don't have a whole lot longer to wait. Now, I suppose that this podcast discussion would not be complete without bringing up everybody's favorite franchise these days, Pokemon.
Pokemon. Yep.
Yeah. So, how are your Nintendo stocks doing these days?
Oh, gosh. It's like a roller coaster.
I'm sorry. Was that too blunt?
Yeah, it really is. It's so funny. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how,
yeah,
you know,
on our last episode.
It was so high flying, and you're like, well, I don't think people really didn't realize that Nintendo is not going to make a lot of money off this. Nintendo had to come out and literally say, like, hey, everybody, our earnings are not going to reflect the craze that's happening right now. We don't own a ton of this. And it tanked.
They came out and admitted what I have been, you know, trying to tell people for weeks, is that they're like, hey, guess what, everybody? This isn't actually our game. We're not going to make a ton off of it. And yeah, so then the stocks a couple days ago just went down into the toilet, like to their lowest point since 1990 is what the headline
I
saw.
Yeah, it took a big dive. It's still quite high off its low. But it was at like almost $40 a share, and now it's a lot closer to like 26 or something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you bought in at 38, whoops. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now's probably the time to buy more, really.
Oh, and here I'm talking about the American equivalency stock of Nintendo stock. Because if you want to buy Nintendo stock in America, you're not buying it on the Japanese stock exchange. You're buying an American equivalent. It's a weird thing. Anyway, it's an over-the-counter stock. Look it up, kids, if you want to buy some stock. Maybe don't buy Nintendo stock. Maybe go buy yourself some Microsoft stock.
Anyway, I didn't really, you know, bring this up to talk about the stock, but I did think that that was an interesting side effect. What I really wanted to talk about, though, is Pokemon Go Plus, the device that you'll wear on your wrist that helps you play this game.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just delayed it. It was supposed to be out at the end of this month. July is almost over, so it should be out any day now. But then they're like, nope, delayed, coming out in September instead.
That is so lame. The pent-up demand for this thing is enormous. And I feel like they just don't have enough stock on hand to launch with what they have right now. They're going to they're going to sell out instantly.
That's totally true.
Yeah.
I understood that stock was pretty limited, and obviously demand is going to be really high, but I don't really understand delaying it, because it's like, hey, you've got this stuff. Put this out now while this thing is red hot, and at least then some people will be happy. Everyone else can still wait till September when more become available.
I think they feel like they're going to miss their marketing opportunity if they don't have enough to sell at launch.
Well, I feel like they're missing the opportunity by not putting the thing out here when this thing is still totally on fire. So
I bet they only have like 100,000 of these units, and they could probably sell a million.
I'm certain they don't have enough.
No, they could sell a million of these.
Yeah, but they could put out a million in September and they're still probably going to sell. Nothing. There's nothing to be gained by not putting out their current stock. So That's the way I see it.
Well, if they're going to do a big media push with this thing, I don't know. I think September's too long. Unless they're going to really add some functionality to this game, they are losing steam on this thing. I mean, there are some diehards that are playing it right now, but a lot of people have dropped off. Like, I've been walking around looking on people's phones.
Yeah, supposedly it has peaked already.
It definitely has peaked. Not nearly as many people playing this game. I mean, I know you're out there playing it. You know, I can hear you right now screaming into your iPod or whatever saying I'm playing, but I kind of stopped playing
iPod.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what are the kids using to listen to podcasts these days? Their iPhone, their car radio.
So yeah, it's been delayed. Kind of a bummer.
Boo.
Maybe they're shifting all the stock over to, you know, one specific territory or something like that, and that's why they're doing it. They're like, yeah, we'll just put all these out in Japan,
yeah,
and then everything for the U.S. and Europe is going to be in September. But it seems like they're really missing their window.
Yeah, did the game finally launch in Japan since this podcast? Mm-hmm. It did. The huge opportunity missed.
I think it was last weekend.
Oh, Nintendo. I mean, obviously you can't plan for a success like that, but holy Moses. Like, they should have probably had some stock on hand for the hottest, like, fad in the... Like, this is the pet rock of 2000... this is the Beanie Baby of 2016.
Yeah, it just kind of sucks that it feels like they, you know, pulled the football away just at the last moment. Yeah,
this is the Tickle Me Elmo of 2016. This is the Wii of 2016.
yeah.
For real.
I guess the other bit of interesting Pokemon news is that they announced that there's going to be a live-action Pokemon film. Rights have been acquired by Legendary Entertainment, and it is supposed to go into production next year.
Is this made for American audiences, this? And the bigger question, is Danny DeVito going to voice Pikachu?
That is a very good question. I don't have the answer to that. But I certainly think they're making it with American audiences in mind.
Okay. Well, if they are, they better get Danny DeVito on board. But that's all I'm saying. If Detective Pikachu, he can't just say Pika Pika and solve crimes, right?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's what we haven't quite said yet, is that this is not about, you know, some young kids going out and becoming trainers and catching them all. This is based on Detective Pikachu, the title that came out on 3DS in Japan but has not made its way to the US yet. Do you think that's a good way to go or a bad way to go?
What, live action Pikachu?
Basing the game on Detective Pikachu instead of just basing it on the premise of the Pokemon cartoon or one of the mainline games.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this really should be a movie about Pokemon, but then ultimately your hero of the show is a lame Pokemon trainer and not Pikachu, who everybody can relate to. Yeah, I think they're going the right way with it, for me anyway. But, unless you're going to have the Pokemon start talking. And I think in the world of Pokemon, when Pokemon start talking, you know, I don't know, people will have a fit. So
I think this Pikachu does talk.
Yeah, that's the only idea. The only way you're going to have a talking Pokemon is to remove them from this world of Pokemon. I think they painted themselves into a corner. We want a movie where the main character is a Pokemon, and then somebody has to drop the bomb that is Pokemon don't talk. What, would you have them talk? What would you do if the Pokemon movie was set?
I would not have them talk. I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a human partner like he does in the game. So it's going to be a human, and it's going to be Pikachu, and they're going to be, you know, solving some mysteries together. I mean, Pokemon's been popular for more than 20 years, and no one has been upset that the main character is a human kid and his friends, and that they just trained the Pokemon. By selecting Detective Pikachu, it's just a much simpler concept to understand. It's Pikachu, it's this guy, we're solving some mysteries. It's not, there's 150 Pokemon, we've got to catch them all, and I got to become the best. That's just really hard to encompass in a single live-action movie and to do it justice. It just feels like this is a bit of a smaller, easily adaptable concept. And I think for that reason, it's probably a good idea.
I think if you made a Pokemon movie in 1994, if you were to make a movie today that would feel like a movie made in 1994, I would have a kid playing Pokemon get sucked into the game and now have to beat all these trainers. But that's me thinking that's my perfect Pokemon movie. A kid from the real world sucked into the world of Pokemon now has to use all the skills and abilities he's learned or she's learned by playing Pokemon to beat the best trainers in the world. But that's my wizard.
Certainly does sound like a 90s yep. concept. Mm-hmm.
That's the only movie that's going to make me happy. That and a Danny DeVito voiced Pikachu. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Well, speaking of cool things going on over in Japan, San Diego Comic-Con was not the only big event going on last weekend. There was also the Wonderfest Summer 2016 Japanese Toy Show going on. Now, I know you were very busy, but did you pick up any of the highlights from Wonderfest?
No, I didn't. I've never even heard of this, so you're going to have to bring me the highlights.
Okay, let me go down the list. First of all, there is a 12-inch tall Link doll or action figure from Breath of the Wild from Metacom. It's going to be more than 30,000 yen. So it's going to be like that's somewhere in the arena of like $280, $290. But yeah, it's this really great looking Link from Breath of the Wild. Multiple heads, multiple hands, lots of accessories. It's going to come with a sword, a shield, bow, arrows, the cloak, the Sheikah Slate, and a really, you know, fancy, elaborate cloth outfit. So that was one of the things that Nintendo fans would find really appealing at the show. Also, the company Sentinel, the ones they're doing the Mega Man figures, they had a bunch of new stuff on display. They showed a new prototype of the Mega Man EXE figure along with Lan, his human trainer. And that figure didn't look articulated, but you know, even if there's a non-articulated Lan, that would be pretty cool. Plus, there were some prototypes of some upcoming other Mega Man figures. They announced before that there was going to be a Cutman figure, and we got to see that finally, mm-hmm. as well as the Mega Man in his powered-up form from Mega Man 7. You know, there's the Rush adapters in Mega Man 6. There's also one for Mega Man 7. I can't remember what the name of it is off the top of my head. Super Adapter, maybe? I think it might be Super Adapter Mega Man now that I think about it. But it's different from the one in Mega Man 6, and they're making a figure of that, and we got to see that. Plus, we got to see a new Mega Man X figure from the same company. So lots of good Mega Man stuff. And then there were new Figmas. Those are the super highly detailed 6-inch high or so action figures. There is a Twilight Princess Link, a Twilight Princess Zelda, and also Corrin from Breath of Fire Fates coming out. That all look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And unsurprisingly, lots of new Nendoroids, including a really neat-looking Meta Knight, a Breath of the Wild Link, Corrin again from Fire Emblem, Mega Man X, and Mega Man EXE.
Cool.
And then the last thing I saw that looked really cool was an action figure of Arthur, Knight Arthur from the Ghosts and Goblins series.
Oh, wow.
That's yeah, cool. I wouldn't have really expected that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have either. Is he cartoonish looking like the
Super
Ghouls and
so.
Ghosts or is he the NES version?
He looks kind of like the artwork from any of those games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's the armored version as well as the boxer shorts version. So
all right.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. But yeah, if you're into video game collectibles, there is lots of good stuff, especially for Mega Man and Zelda and Fire Emblem fans. So better start saving up some pocket money if you're interested in any of that stuff. All right, this conversation has gone on pretty long already. So we'll take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will discuss our big topic, which is the top features we would like to see included on the Nintendo NX. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the features that we would like to see included on the upcoming Nintendo NX system. Earlier in the show, we talked about the rumors that have emerged saying it's going to be a hybrid handheld home-based console, and it's going to have these configurable controllers, and you can plug it into the TV or take it on the go, and it would run on cartridges, and also that it would have a mobile processor running the whole thing. But we thought, you know, what do we really want this thing to be? What would we like to see out of it? Let's not worry about what's super realistic. Let's not worry about what people are expecting. But what do we want out of the NX? So, Scott, why don't you go ahead and give me your first idea of what you would most want to see out of this long-awaited system.
Okay, so this is a feature. I think we've even talked about this on the show, but I would love a... I mean, and this is something they could have put into any of their consoles in the last, I don't know, since the Wii. But I would love a subscription-based virtual console. If you gave me an all-I-could-eat virtual console subscription, and honestly, I don't have to have the entire NES library available to me. If you put 50 games on there and rotated through them, or added more, not rotated through even, just added more over time, I would easily pay you $10 a month for that, for a subscription-based all-I-could-eat virtual console service.
Why are $10 you playing a month, your virtual console games?
All I could play.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
It's very similar to the PS Plus and the Xbox One
Or PlayStation Now, really.
PlayStation Now. Yeah, PlayStation Now. You know, PlayStation Plus, you get several free games each month, and you get to keep them after that month. But if you join late, if you join a month from now, you don't get to go back and get those games for free. So there is a... You do get this urgent feeling of I should subscribe, especially with PlayStation Plus, and I think Nintendo could do that. You know, subscribe now because you won't get the, I don't know, this very awesome game that for free. Obviously, you could always buy it on Virtual Console.
Right.
You could pay the $5.99 or whatever it is. But
right, which is just how it works on PlayStation as well.
But if I could get some free, because honestly, this is where the money is to be made. A subscription service. If Nintendo could figure out a way to get people to pay them $10-$12 a month for online, I know they want to give us free online. Their online is the pits. Nintendo's online is the pits. It needs to get better. If at least we're paying for it, maybe it'll be better. So make me pay for online, make me pay for premium features, make me pay for
this is supposed to be features we want, man.
Yeah, but I don't mind paying for good things. I won't mind paying. Just don't withhold stuff.
Well, you make a good point there.
Don't feel like it's going to be profitable. It'll be profitable if I'm paying for it. So yeah, subscription-based virtual console. And Nintendo can figure out what that means to them, but I'll give Nintendo $12 a month, and if they keep me flush with old games that I can play on my giant screen television, I'm going to be a happy man.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, for me personally, it would give me a chance to just try out a bunch of stuff that maybe I haven't played before, and so I could be like, okay, you know, I'll subscribe for a month or two, I'll get to try a whole bunch of things, and then if I like these games, then I can, you know, pay the $5 or the $8 or whatever, and then I'll own this game full time. And I won't have to worry about, you know, subscribing if I don't need to. But yeah, that seems like a great way for, you know, people to get a sample of this stuff. Don't have to go out and actually make a purchase. That does make a whole lot of sense. I'll say that I also had a virtual console related wish on my NX list.
Please tell.
And while it wasn't quite as specific as what you were saying with subscription service, I just want to see it be more and bigger and better. I want them to bring back stuff like the Genesis games that they had on Wii but don't have on Wii U. Bring back Neo Geo games as well. And then just put in a whole lot more stuff. I mean, it's primarily the same old games that we've got on Wii and Wii U and 3DS. And I think they need to go back to their, you know, third-party publishing partners and say, okay, let's try to add some new stuff to this. You know, let's bring out, you know, obscure Japanese games that never came out over in the U.S. and likewise bring out, you know, Western releases that may have never come out in Japan. Bring out some of these more obscure titles. Work out deals with companies like Square Enix to bring out some of their good stuff that we haven't been able to play since the, you know, Super NES or N64 went out of style.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just beef up the capabilities of Virtual Console. You know, we have this pixel perfect stuff on the Nintendo 3DS, and I think they should try to do the same thing on the NX as well. You know, give it to us so we can have that on our TV in, you know, glorious 1080p.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're probably going to get something like that with the NES Classic, but, you know, I want this to be for all the games, you know, not just 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, expand the save state functionality. I just love the Virtual Console. I love playing those classic games, and I want to see more. I want it to be more, and I want it to be better. And so that is certainly one of the things that I would like to see them do on the NX system.
That sounds good.
So on to your next big thing. We're trying to keep this to three items apiece. So yeah, what's your number? What's your second pick? We're not doing them in order or anything. So
number two, probably not going to come as a surprise. I want glasses free 3D on this thing. I know it may be impossible because now you're asking a relatively, I don't know, underpowered system to do something twice.
Well, it's more powerful than the 3DS.
It is,
so.
but it is more powerful than the 3DS, but there are games that can't be in 3D because it's too taxing on the system, like the Pokemon games.
This is true.
Which is really unfortunate. The flagship game on this system can't run in 3D because the system can't handle it. So that is some crap right there. Hopefully, we get a system that's powerful enough to do, I'm assuming, 1080p gameplay. But that's you're asking it to do it twice. Mm-hmm. Render out two 1080p, say, or maybe it's 1080p with the 3D off, and maybe it's 720p interlaced with the 3D on, where it's the 720p left eye, 720p right eye interlaced, where that's pretty much how the 3DS works. Mm-hmm. Although it looks like when you turn the 3D off, the pixels are doubled, or the lines are doubled, so you're not doubling the resolution when you turn off the 3D. You're actually getting less resolution on the 3D.
No, but you certainly get improved frame rate and things
like
that.
You get improved frame rate for sure, but you're not getting better resolution. So yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I don't want to take a step backwards in having what I felt was the perfect handheld, except for the fact that we had you know, the most pixelated gameplay experience since the Game Boy Color. So I really don't want to take a step backwards with the losing 3D on this thing. What do you think? I'm guessing it's never going to happen. I'm just going to suck it up now and just be content with having a 3DS, but yeah,
well, I understand what you're saying.
I really wish it would have the glasses free 3D. It really adds a lot to my gameplay experience. I know a lot of people play the games with the 3D off. Me, I can't play the games without 3D. I need the 3D. It's a huge, huge part of this. It's not a gimmick for me. I really, really, really dig it. So
yeah, I use 3D on my 3DS as often as I can. You know, sometimes it gets a little wonky on me and I decide, nah, I'm going to have to turn it off. But for the most part, I try to use it, you know, all the time when I'm playing 3DS games. I do really like glasses-free 3D, and that's saying this as somebody who couldn't give a crap about, you know, watching 3D movies in a theater with glasses. That's no fun, but without the glasses, it's awesome. And I agree, it's an excellent feature of the 3DS, and it would be really cool if they were able to keep that in the next system.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess to go along those same lines, my next pick would be that I would really like for the NX to be able to have dual screens as well.
Oh, how so? Oh, dual screens. I mean, so top and bottom, like a DS, a 3DS.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like you said, it feels like a real shame to go backwards. You know, we're so used to these dual screens on the DS that came out more than 10 years ago, and the 3DS as well. And even with the Wii U, you know, you have the big monitor on your TV, and then you have a secondary screen on the gamepad. And man, if someone had told me that I was ever going to say this is a requested feature 10 years ago, I would have said, no way, you're off your rocker. But I have really come accustomed to it. And it's like, man, I don't understand how you could ever end up, you know, having to like pause the game to go to your inventory or go to a map screen or something like that. It just seems so archaic now to be forced to do that. But, you know, according to the current rumor, it's just going to be a single screen. And, you know, presumably when you plug it into the TV, you know, the base unit, you know, that screen's probably not going to be showing anything. It's just going to be shown on your TV and you're playing the game with the controllers. And, you know, it's going to be just like, you know, if you were playing on, you know, a GameCube or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's been so useful and functional, and I'm really going to miss it if that's not in Nintendo's next system. So just like you were saying with 3D, I hope that they figure out some way to bring it back, because it just seems so integral to the pick-up-and-play Nintendo experience.
Yeah.
I suppose this is maybe a good time to mention that the rumors we were talking about before indicated that the system would not be backwards compatible with either Wii U or 3DS games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're switching to a different media and a totally different form factor, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I don't really mind that in some respects. You know, I tend to always keep my old hardware out there and available, and I usually prefer to play it on the system it was made for instead of relying on backwards compatibility. But still, I do really like these great features, dual screens, 3D, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I do hope they continue on, you know, whether, you know, backwards compatibility is a consideration or not.
Yeah.
All right. So what is your third choice?
Okay.
What else do you want to see?
My third choice is totally gimmicky. Yeah, it's something I mentioned a couple weeks ago, which is I feel like they need to step into VR because Sony's going there, yes. and Microsoft's going there. And
everybody's going there.
If this thing is what they describe, which is some sort of tablet, I mean, it could work very much like the HTC Vive, which is you stick the thing in a holster, you strap that sucker to your head, and now you've got a VR system. And a mobile processor is capable enough to do VR. You're just basically showing the same thing twice, split the screen in half. So, yeah, I think it's just natural for them to make that a possibility if this thing is as truly portable as rumors would have. So yeah, I want a VR system somehow. I think it's something Nintendo's been trying to do for the last, I don't know, what is it, 20 years? Was 95 for the
Virtual Boy.
Virtual Boy.
You are right on.
Yeah,
21 years since that sucker came out. Yeah, they were sort of one of the first companies to try to get their foot in the door with it.
Yep.
Didn't quite work out for them. But yeah, that's where the industry is going now.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm not completely sold on it yet, I do know that a lot of people are interested, and I certainly understand that that you would want to have that in a Nintendo system.
Mm-hmm. How about you? What's your third pick here for NX must-have feature?
Well, I guess my third pick is something that's really obvious and something that, you know, we were kind of alluding to in our discussions earlier about this rumor, and that is I want more power.
Okay.
I mean, call me Ganondorf. Enough with the wisdom, enough with the courage. This thing needs more power. That of all we've heard in these rumors, that's the thing that worries me the most. This is going to be another underpowered system. The Wii was underpowered. The Wii U was underpowered. I don't want another underpowered system. In fact, the last time that Nintendo was really on top, other than that stint with the Wii, where it was the hottest thing going for a couple of years, but with that exception, the last time they were on top was with the Super NES,
yep.
and there they were more powerful than the competition.
Yeah.
And being able to have that power, you know, it brings out the best in creators, which brings you the best games. And while I know that no matter what kind of system Nintendo makes, and no matter what its capabilities are, we're going to get some really, really good first-party games, it seems really hard to make a system that is legitimately successful without having enough power. And so while I'm not saying that, you know, it's looking very likely, if I could, you know, call my Nintendo Genie up, that's what I would wish for, is making a nice, powerful system that's not going to have any trouble attracting the attention of the big-name developers.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I guess those were the big three wishes that both of us would like to have. You know, one thing that was on my list, but I guess it would be number four or something that I thought maybe you were going to bring up, is, you know, having another you know, full complement of control options, traditional controls, motion controls, and touch mm-hmm. controls. Is there mm-hmm. a reason that you didn't choose that as one of the things you want?
I guess I know it will probably be capacitive touch and not the other type of touch, which is the pressure-sensitive touch. So I'm just worried that we're going to get a spate of, like, crappy Clash of Kings, Clash of Clans touch games. So I'm just super, like, I obviously we must have tactile controls, you know, a D-pad, analog sticks, real buttons. We can't be pressing buttons that are, like, virtual on the face of this thing. Now, something we haven't talked about, and, you know, it's a technology that is currently available, and it's not necessarily haptic, which is haptic is, you know, a vibration when you move right. over a virtual button or mm-hmm. item on a screen. But there
and that's
are,
rumored to be something Nintendo's been working
yeah,
on for a
while.
Yeah,
that would be cool. But the other feature that, you know, could be a killer feature if they put it in, and it's not something I really desperately want, but I think it's going to be super cool if they do, is there that people have been messing with technology that creates an electrical field on the surface of a touchscreen that simulates a texture. So if you rub your finger over it, it'll feel like denim, or it'll feel like Velcro, or it'll feel like raised ridges. So you could have this very tactile, even what feels like a real button on a touch screen. Now, I don't necessarily want buttons to be that way, but I would love to have some sort of visceral tactile screen that you can actually feel and have to solve puzzles that way. And I think that
cool.
would be badass. But yeah, it's a thing. It's a technology that exists in the world. It's mm-hmm. Nintendo is usually pushing the limits of gimmicks, and that is the height of gimmickry right there. So that and smell-o-vision, and gosh, imagine that. So yeah, I don't necessarily want to smell Ganon, but it might be nice to touch his cloak or something.
Oh my. Yeah, that actually would be pretty cool. I don't think it would be one of my top three, and that's the same reason that I didn't mention, you know, that I want to see the return of motion controls and touch. But yeah, there's lots of good stuff they could put in there. And if they did go that route, you know, these are the guys who pioneered, you know, Rumble with the Rumble Pack.
Yeah,
back in the
that's
day.
True.
And it would be really cool for them to take that to the next generation yep, yep. too. So
yeah, and I want to know what the listeners out there think is a good feature for the NX. So let us
yeah,
know
absolutely.
On email. What's our email address?
We are powerprospod@gmail.com.
Okay, and on Twitter, we're @PowerProsPod, so you can send those in to us on Twitter as well.
Yep, that would be really cool. Please let us know. Well, I think that does it for this week's show, but before we totally wrap it up, there is still time for a dramatic reading. This time, from the eShop description of the ancient Game Boy title Maru's Mission. The Master Traveler takes on the monsters of the world. Play as the Ninja Maru in this action-packed side-scrolling game that will take you on a journey across the world. While Maru is out for a walk with his girlfriend Cory, an evil samurai named Muramasa suddenly appears and kidnaps her. In Maru's efforts to track her down and rescue her, he must face a number of mythological monsters while gaining new and powerful weapons in order to defeat them. Using the hints that are left behind by his enemies, Maru will follow a trail that will lead him across 6 different locations, including the bug-infested forests of America and the scorching deserts of Egypt. Help our hero on his mission as he fights to rescue Cory.
Cory? Is that a girl?
Yep, that's his girlfriend, Cory. C-O-R-I.
Did you ever play this game?
I have not ever played this game, but I have seen the box art. And if you haven't seen the box art, I highly recommend checking it out because is some of the most ridiculous stuff you'll ever see. This is like Mega Man 1 box art
bad.
Oh
my gosh, wow. That's worse. That's worse. Oh my gosh. Wow. Why did if you do use Google image search, it's hilarious because the box art in Japan is freaking awesome. It makes you want to play this game, and the American box art looks like it was drawn
Japan,
by somebody.
It actually shows a ninja.
Yeah.
And in the American box art, it's like, who the hell is this kid?
He's got a
hat.
He's got a Walkman.
Why is there a giant gremlin behind him?
He's wearing a Walkman. He's wearing a tape, is he fighting a monster with a cassette player? That's bizarre.
He's obviously very hip. He's a very hip ninja kid named Maru. I don't know what they're thinking.
Oh, man. Somebody was stoned when they drew that.
Well, that's how things worked back in the olden days of video games. I haven't actually ever played it, but man, that box art is amazing.
I think they were like, oh, man, Jaleco's like, well, we got this Japanese game. Let's try to localize it. No, yeah. Second thought, let's not try to localize it. Let's just make the box art look really American. And yeah, that's what happened. Wow.
I mean, it's not hard. You had a ninja. A ninja. You know, how hard can that be to make look cool? But they're like, nope, kid with a Walkman. Big ugly green guy. That's the way to go.
Helpless girl with a bow in her hair. Wow.
Terribly drawn girl with a bow in her hair. It's amazing.
Wow.
Anyway, that does it for this week's episode. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com. And as we mentioned before, you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff. And you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. Like we said, we would love it if you would drop us an email at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you'd give us a rating on iTunes.
Give us a rating. Funniest one gets, I don't know. How about a $25 eShop gift card? I'm not bribing
you. You're generous.
I'm not bribing you to review the show, but I'm encouraging you to write a really funny one. So, write a review on iTunes. Drop us a line. Tell us which review is yours, and I'll pick the funniest one next week, and we'll send you a $25 eShop card.
Crazy. You're a generous, generous man.
That's how I roll.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Bashella.
Thanks for listening.
And our adorable pink pal, Kirby.
Hi.
We will see you next time.